CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. Okay, so this morning we are coming to you live from the Lebang Hosana Nursery of Children, the Bakabantu Eastern Cape Hole of Death, and my house. So we've got like all three kinds of backgrounds you might want. Bakabantu is not going to put his video on because A, there's nothing to show us. B, we're worried it'll tempt the municipalities of the Eastern Cape to actually shut down even his sound, let alone his video. So we'll give him a chance to like just get away with the audio this morning. But at least he's back. A lot of people have been asking about you. And Lebang, hooray! Hooray and congratulations.
Thank you, finally.
I'm forced to you as a mother of five.
Mother of five. Now listen, you...
Big five.
You were like, you were in the hospital without any warning. You were like, okay, half an hour. You were like, I'm out again, I'm ready to go. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Pretty much. And it was quite a day, I'll be honest with you, because 1st of July was the day I'm moving into my new house. So in my mind, I'm like, this is all I'm doing. This is all I've got time for.
Unreal.
This baby better not arrive today. So you can imagine I'm like picking up boxes, well, trying not to, but pushing things around, getting into the new house. Everything is going swimmingly.
Yeah.
Out of the purple, at like 5 p.m., I start feeling like, okay, what's going on in my stomach? Labor pains. Okay, maybe it's just like early labor. I can wait. Oh, no. It's 7 o'clock. I'm at the hospital. I walk in there at 7. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm about to have this baby. So let's make this snappy. 20 past 7, push her out in like 30 seconds. 7:30, I'm like, okay, can I go back to my new house? Or am I like stuck here? What's the plan? But it was amazing, man. It was like very quick, like I wanted.
TikTok. I gotta,
you know,
you're like, I gotta move some boxes and I gotta put some furniture in its place.
Exactly. Like, that bed is not gonna hold itself, honey.
It's like, there's your baby, I'm done.
But, yeah, no, it was great. I guess, like, she just wanted to arrive on the same day as, you know, getting into the new house or whatever. And it was great, man. It was quick. I am still in recovery, so.
Yes, of course.
You know, it's just like movements are a little bit, but I've been driving and stuff, so I'm just like getting my gears back on and back in the game. I'm glad to be on the show again. It was a cold 2 weeks without you guys, man.
Well, we were bored. We were bored shitless. I won't lie. I mean, you know, that baby, Cunning Stunt, whose name is just the best, says that baby just walked out.
No, literally.
Well, I wasn't even going to say anything, so I didn't even announce it until yesterday because I thought, I can't have you come on the show this morning and then nobody knows. But I just left it for last week because I was kind of toying with the idea of you just making the surprise announcement yourself this morning. And I thought, nah, I can't wait much more.
Yeah, no, it's all good. She's been here for a while. She arrived on the 1st, so it's been a nice couple of days just getting to know her and not sleeping and then sometimes sleeping and then like waking up at 2 and then sometimes not waking up at 2, but it is what it is. It's parenthood. So it's all just been a joy, 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 joy.
Well, lots of people saying congratulations. And
what's her name, Lebang?
Yeah. This is important. Oh. This is important. Yes. What is her name?
So her name is Thabang, as I did say before she arrived. We are still on the hunt for like an official second name. We've got like 30 days to figure it out before we have to like sign stuff. So for now, it's just Thabang. But, yeah, I'm open to suggestions. If you've got some good, positive vibes that you can throw my way, I'm open. I'm open.
All right. Well, I mean...
You can name her after me.
No, why would we do that?
Okay. No.
I have a really nice name, Gareth. What? Bakabantu, like, leave that. Busebemvelo.
You do.
Busebemvelo. Imagine that.
Busebemvelo.
That's a nice.
Yeah, so like
name.
I said, I'm open. You know, bring suggestions.
No, I thought we were closing this one. Like, no. The child's name is Thabang Buhle.
We'll see. I've still got some time, but she's here. She's amazing. Everything's going well.
I like the name Buhle as well. That's a nice name.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Two
it
words.
It means
guys,
pretty,
vote,
right?
Vote in the comments.
Yeah. But what's really been interesting is to see how my other kids interacting with the baby. So I've got like the 1-year-old who's like, oh, baby, will just slap her across the face.
Oh my God.
Then my 2-year-old will be like, oh, it's a baby. We'll try feed her, pick her up. And then like my big boys are just like, oh, how's the baby doing? Where's the baby? Okay, cool. She's fine. Bye. You know, that's sweet, been really man. Fun. It's been fun to see the engagement between the big five and how they all interact as a squad. So, yeah, dude, I'm literally just like watching every day.
I like this. You already have a nickname for the whole squad, the big five. I love this. This is awesome.
I mean, big five. If not, why not? I mean,
yeah. No, this is great.
Yeah.
Big five.
So meanwhile, Bakabantu is still in the Eastern Cape. Where in the Eastern Cape actually are you?
I am in Grahamstown, Gareth, or Makanda, as we call it now.
Yes, because, yeah, what a toilet.
We are touching down to our roots.
What a toilet.
Well, you can't do that, Makanda, funny enough, because there's no water, Gareth. You can't go to the toilet.
So
the first time I came here, it's when my mom moved here, because she works here now. So I walked into, I think it was a restaurant or something, and then there's a sign outside the restaurant door that says, if it's mellow, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. I'm like, oh, what's happening here? Then I realized, oh, there's no water. They don't have water.
Hmm.
And it was just like art. I don't understand this place. This place has beautiful architecture. It's so like, it's got beautiful bones. And then it's just got this garbage that just leaks out. There's donkeys, there's potholes, there's poor infrastructure. But like the buildings, the schools, it's supposed to be like a beacon of the Eastern Cape, and it's a shithole.
Yeah, well.
Oh, you can't say that.
No, you can say shithole. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. Now, I really feel like we have to actually address these things, because otherwise, as I discussed with Mash yesterday, we were talking about this conversation I had with a friend over the weekend about Lagos and what Lagos is like and what an absolutely horrible toilet place Lagos is, because there's no infrastructure. There's no water. The building gets like the one building gets power in the afternoon, the other one gets power in the morning. Even the smart parts of Lagos are like disgusting, with half built things, and you know, infrastructure's just deteriorated horribly, and when one government comes in or one president comes in, then all the contracts just end, whether they've got a term of reference or not. And there are bodies floating down the river. It's just like it's hell on earth, right? It's really, and it's everything smells of sewage. And she said it's just the worst place, and she will never. She doesn't care if there is $100 million deal that she has to do in Nigeria. She will not go there. She said it's so horrible. She couldn't eat the food because everything is oily and gross, and she's not sure what it is. And like, I know this sounds like a kind of a cultural superiority complex or whatever, but you know, there are also objective standards. Like, would you rather be in Makanda or Grahamstown, as it's called, well, Makanda now, with all of that shit that you just described, donkeys and potholes and no water and no electricity and just like complete fucking disgrace all around you, or in a place where things work? Now, I'm all for like somewhere in the middle where there are rules, but they're not like the most onerous rules, where you still have to sort things out for yourself. And I do, I said it the other day, like there's something going on at the moment which is actually going to work right the opposite way that the government thinks it is. I reckon that the more people that can get away from depending on the government are going to be doing it now. A friend of mine, he imports solar panels and batteries. He's just got so many orders in the last while for people to go off grid. He said people who he didn't think would be able to afford it, people who are making a plan, he had to bring in 5,000 batteries by air freight just last week. And he says he cannot keep up with the demand because people are like, we are not going to pay Eskom a single cent more. They can fix their own shit. They've made their bed. They must lie in it. This government can get fucked. He said, I am going to, and a lot of his clients are going to completely make ourselves independent. Now, that's fine if you have money. But the people who don't have money are in big shit. Big shit.
they are in big shit. I saw also Macro also went into the solar panel and batteries game.
Oh, yeah.
Like their top of the range kit is like 170K. So people are really looking like you can go to Macro and find your local electrician to go install the stuff for you.
Right.
Now it's we're becoming independent from the government, which is the ANC's biggest fear, but they drove us to this place. Is terrible. Like I came from the rurals, and I prefer being in the rurals because at least stuff works there. There was electricity constantly. I don't think there was load shedding in the rurals. No. I don't even think COVID existed in the rurals. But like that was just a weekend ago, not this past weekend, a weekend ago. Like that was rural, rural Eastern Cape. But mm-hmm. here in a functioning city that just had Arts Fest last week, is you find a donkey in the street, Gareth.
That's
you don't understand why is a donkey shitting and walking in the street. Also, it's just
donkey
standing
lives
stuck in a pothole because of
donkey. What did you just say? Donkey lives matter. Oh God, we could get into so much shit for that. Are you joking? I hope you're kidding. I mean, that's just we're gonna get taken down. Can you imagine the trouble we'll be in if the woke people find out that you said donkey lives matter? We are finished. Jesus. But you know,
but on the real, if you can afford this, then you're totally set. I mean, let's be honest, you don't need to depend on the government. You know, as we're saying, fuck ESCOM, we can just keep it moving. If you are a broke person, mm-hmm. depending on that 350 rand in inverted commas,
yep.
that you may or may not be getting grant from the government, then you are completely screwed. And that is literally like the bulk of the people in this country. So we're fine. Like, I'm not worried about anybody right now that I'm speaking to. I know that we'll be okay. I just feel for the people who genuinely don't have a choice. Because we're already complaining, because it's already tough on us, on our pockets. Like, oh, we've got generators. We need petrol to fill up the generators. The generators, petrol is so expensive. Oh, we come back, there's no power. It's a lot.
No, it's very hectic. It's very
like,
hectic.
Little Thomas there, who just is, like, literally eating hand to mouth, hustling for garden jobs or whatever. It's, oh, man. It's wild. It's pretty wild.
You know what? This is
That's why they drink it in Glabang. That's why they go to those taverns and they drink.
Jeez.
Because South Africa 100%. Is a depressing place, guys.
Well, I think
Sis Puri once coined this phrase, like, we have, like, I don't know, like, group trauma from, like, back in the day. That's why we have, like, a drinking problem in South Africa. Mm. But now we have, like, actual...
No, we have
like,
modern-day trauma.
Through it and people just drink. Yeah, we have modern-day trauma now. Like... The government just keeps giving, and we just keep taking.
You mean they keep taking, and we just keep giving?
Yeah.
I mean...
No. My one was based on the prison metaphor that they're giving it to us. And
oh, right. Okay, no, I got you then. That makes sense.
Oh, jeez, you are in a shithole.
Yeah. Alcohol's cheaper than food. Make it make sense, says Herman. They go to taverns for business. Where else do you meet other drug dealers, says Ethan. McGill says, greetings from Green Acres Hospital in PE. I'm going for a colonoscopy this morning. Day 9 in hospital. Haven't been live on the show. Shame, McGill. That's horrible. A colonoscopy.
Sorry, McGill. I'm
going to put a camera up your asshole. Heavy.
Now, so the theme of the show today is
assholes.
Going up the ass, I guess.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, wow.
What a horrible thing to talk about. But you've been on a little tour of the Eastern Cape, right? So you were out in the rurals, much more of the Karoo. And what are the temperatures like in places like Makanda and where you were before?
So in Craddock, it was funny enough, like the Karoo, like Craddock. Proper Karoo, Craddock, it was warmer than it is in Makanda. Makanda is just cold. There's just death in the air. I don't know if it's the people. There's so many people in town, but everyone is just like frozen.
It sounds pretty much like it's inhospitable. It shouldn't even be good for human habitation.
Mm. Yeah, you're not doing well for the PR of any of these places.
I mean, I think you've just ruined.
Not at all.
I think you've just
I
ruined.
My mic go off.
Yeah, your mic went off.
I think my mic went off.
I think you've just ruined the chances of the ANC in the Eastern Cape in the next election, Bagabantu. It's all you.
You have single-handedly done this.
You've damaged their opportunities. They were so ready. I think his mic is going on and off the whole time. Anyway, why is it... This is why municipalities want to tax people with solar energy. Yeah, of course they do, but they're not going to be able to because it's got nothing to do with
it.
No,
they can't.
They can't. And let them come. Let them try. I reckon people are at the point now where we will just do them damage, you know. Like they will get violence. They will be met with violence.
But look, they will try. Don't doubt that. They will definitely attempt to get in on that because that's what they do. They want to get in on every single thing. Most things that have nothing to do with them, especially if it involves money.
Yeah.
They'll find a way to say, hey, but the rules are.
No, we,
so hopefully
we've
not.
We've got to cut the supply because that is the problem. They're addicted to our money and we've got to cut the supply. It's finished now. We don't have any more to give them, so they can't tax us more. You can't tax something that doesn't have anything in it, right? So I wanted to talk about something that I think is quite interesting. And it has to do with design. And I thought, Lebang, this is something that you've had a lot to do with in your career because you've been in advertising and marketing. And I want to just ask you whether you think there's something weird going on here. Let me just get Bakabantu back on. Okay, you back, dude. Bakabantu, you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, so
come in, yeah, Bakabantu, over.
We can't even connect with you properly because of that shitty place you're in. What a toilet.
Exactly. Like, I just saw my sound just go dead, and then I just decided to leave and come back.
Unbelievable. All right, so I want to ask you about something, because there's something that came up on a thread on social media yesterday, which is worth inspection. So I want to hear what you think of this, whether you think it's some nefarious thing that's going on, or whether it's just pure, like, it's part of the process, it's the evolution of stuff. And both of you have been involved in marketing and branding, so I want you to look at this. Give me your straight-up opinion, right? Here is what logos have changed to. So I'm talking about design logos, brand logos. So that's on the left, you can see Yves Saint Laurent, which has changed its branding to just Saint Laurent, right? And it's all in this very straightforward block lettering. It's like a, I suppose you'd call that what, an Arial or a sans serif or one of those fonts. Balenciaga has changed as well to almost the same as Saint Laurent. Burberry has changed its font that its logo is in. Berluti, Bama. Now, what do you think is going on here? Because they all look the same on the right, and those are their modern versions, right? Now, here's some others. Revolut, Facebook, Google. I mean, some of them haven't even changed so much that we would have noticed. But when you compare the old logo to the new logo, you'll see that they actually have changed quite a lot. And I want to know whether this is something we should be worrying about, something we should be thinking about, something that should be taking up more of our time, our attention, and what you reckon is actually going on here. Because there is an argument that the new logos, the ones on the right, are sleeker, more streamlined, you can read them better on a screen, and there's actually nothing wild going on here. There's nothing that you need to be concerned about here. And then other people will say, well, the individuality is being removed from these, and there's a bigger story about what's actually happening in the world of art, because we're now so interconnected, and everything has to be so accessible to everybody, that actually the creativity, the individuality, the design has been pulled out, and now there's this worldwide, universalist kind of font of people in 2022, and too much of any kind
of
individuality.
There's a word for it.
What is it?
Aesthetics. It's called aesthetics, where things have to look clean and simple and minimalistic. I mean, have you seen Kim Kardashian and Kanye's house? It's like one piece of furniture per room. It's minimalist. It's like this new vibe where everything needs to just come across in like a nude color, beige, light browns, blah, blah. We're kind of, I guess the world is like moving into, yes, on one end, it's sad because what it's doing for creativity is exactly that. It's, I want to splash the reds and the yellows and the purples, but oh no, you'll come across too McDonald's-y. So let's go for like a light brown, so, beige and a nude.
I mean, what you're saying,
you know,
is
that's the vibe.
So it's probably true. I mean, it sounds horrible. It's like you've ripped the heart and soul out of anybody who's just slightly different and anything that speaks of individuality. But look at this. So these are all the cars. There's a BMW, there's an Acura, there's a Volvo, there's an Audi, there's a Mazda, Volkswagen, Mitsubishi, Mercedes, Jeep, and Toyota. And to me, They look
copy paste
almost exactly the same.
They look the same.
There are some small differences on like rear windows, but otherwise they look like carbon copies of each other. It's like some it's like someone went and copy and pasted the most boring design they could find and just replicated it, put a different badge on it, and said, ah, we're selling different cars. But they're not different cars. They look exactly the same. Tell me that isn't a little bit concerning.
It's scary, dude, because what kind of world are we going to be living in the next 10 years where we all have the same plant in our houses and the same wall color and the same sofa style? It's really just
boring.
The stuff that we're being fed.
It's boring.
We're all just being fed.
You just moved into a new house, Levang, so you go and shop for furniture now. You're going to find all the same looking shit in every store you go to. It's this minimalist stuff you're talking about. White, black, gray, or like light wood. You're not going to find anything that is even slightly, you know, character driven, that's slightly more interesting.
No more color.
No colors. No, we don't want any of that.
It's very sad. You go to Pinterest and you're like, let me get inspiration. And Pinterest will show you, you know, aesthetically appealing things for the 21st century. Things that will, you know, look cool on your Instagram feed. If you take a picture in front of this mirror and then that plant in the background will get you more likes. This is how some people think.
I reckon,
you end up literally getting the very same things.
I reckon
we all have the same things.
This is also those marketing research groups, right? These people, these fucking boring, awful people who are paid to do market research. And then they go out and they ask people questions, and people don't know what they want until they see it. And they say to these people, all right, let's design the perfect shelf. We're going to get feedback from 1,000 people, and then we'll put, of course, 1,000 people, everyone has a different opinion. But then what happens is they take the middle of all of those opinions, the average, the mean, and then they put it together, and what you get is the most boring shelf in the world. Now, I mean, I'm just going through a couple of these. For people who are listening.
You test for the one that doesn't offend anyone.
Right.
The one that just...
The one that's least
like
offensive.
Everyone hates just a little bit.
Yeah. Middle of the road. The most boring you can find. So that no one's offended or upset by anything. Oh, that's too bright. Ooh, that's too dark. Ooh, that's too light. It's got to be something in the middle. So it'll all end up beige. And as you called it, Lebug, nude, minimalistic. This is what happens when the accountants and the auditors and the marketing research people take over every business, including the creative arts. So here's a old London telephone booth, the red one, right? Which was attractive. It had a beautiful look. It was very
iconic.
Very iconic.
Got personality.
Right, it was London. You knew when you saw that you were in London. And on the right is one of the modern ones, which is grey and industrial and boring and functional and fucking ugly. And then you look at this. This is the idea of modern art on the left, which is like a urinal, which was actually an installation at the Museum of Modern Art not so long ago, with some graffiti on it, the pipes broken off, and that was what some people would call modern art. And on the right is Michelangelo's Pietà, which is at the Vatican in St. Peter's Basilica. It's a beautiful sculpture which Michelangelo completed. I think he wasn't even 30 years old when he finished that. And it is absolutely awe-inspiring and breathtaking and beautiful.
Beautiful.
And I reckon maybe this is linked to what we started talking to Bakabantu about. And I don't want us to sit here every morning and complain about things. But like what Bakabantu is talking about in Makanda in Grahamstown is just a total... They've stripped away all the joy of living. Nothing works. And there's nothing beautiful. And then they have the cheek to have an arts festival there. And I can only imagine the toilet plays that were put on. Like struggle plays and anger and like people complaining and bitching and moaning and like sad things and stories of like abuse. And who wants to... Where's beauty? Like where is beauty? Where is magnificence? Where is...
Like, where's the celebration of life?
Yeah, and where is this whole idea that we can be transcendent? Because if you look at these logos and these cars, everything's being reduced to like this functional, boring... Look at even the screen of your phone, okay? Look at how the logo is there, which used to be interesting. Like Amazon used to have that cute little trolley, the blue. Facebook used to be like a darker blue. It was more distinctive. Instagram used to have that old Instamatic camera as their logo. You know, Uber used to have that white with a U with like the tops of the U turned in. It was distinctive. All these things have gone now. They've given way to simplified, more minimalistic. Maybe it's good. Maybe from a design point of view, it you could see it better. It's brighter. You know, some graphic designer got involved there and said, we've got to zhuzh this up a little. It looks old school. Look at these. These are Pepsi's logos from the last 100 years. 1898 was like this bizarre thing that it looks like it was drawn by a child. And then it kind of...
No, thank goodness that one is no longer the logo. Let's be grateful here as
right.
well.
And it kind of developed and developed and developed. And then today it's just this almost like a beach ball with the three colors on it, which is
honestly
boring. I mean, maybe it fills the space better and, you know, they've trimmed down all the non-essential stuff, but it just shows you how everything's being worn down. Don't you think?
It's the machine.
I think you
Gareth.
Hit the nail on the head, Gareth, when you said it's a group of people sitting in a boardroom that mm-hmm. are making these decisions. They're like, oh, this is what the masses want.
No.
And then they find whatever study. They don't actually talk to people and find out what they like, but they find whatever study. They're like, oh, this is the type of stuff we're peddling now. And then brands just copy each other and virtue signal.
They don't need to talk to people anymore. They're always listening. They're constantly listening to us. Every single conversation we have, whether it's via text, via call, right. They know more about us than we know about ourselves. That's why they keep spewing this stuff at us. And the simpler it looks and the easier on the eyes, in inverted commas,
right.
that it looks, the more attractive it'll apparently be to us. And that is literally it. That's all it boils down to, nothing more than that.
Well, Gary says lots of people in mid-round apartments have been doing the same minimalist furnishings in the apartment. One plastic garden chair and a TV. That's true. Sunmarie says, but there is something to say about everyone expecting to be PC and thus stripping away any personality. Think about visibility issues and legibility for people with difficulties reading. The minority wins. Probably. Woody says,
yeah,
we're all going
for sure.
to live in a monochrome world eventually. If you let a machine design your life, everything ends up aerodynamically alike, while also design similarly,
yeah.
you know, in design. At Lebang, as long as there's a small corner where the teleprompter can't see me, then at least I can sit down and write in my diary. I do not know what Corona's boring's on about. Tracy says, Marie Kondo, the home edit, the minimalists, they're all about making things simpler. By doing that, they're stripping character from homes. Being a graphic designer must be really shitty right now. Yeah, says Sibia. I think that's right, because there's the minute you come up with anything slightly interesting, they're like, no, thank
they
you.
They don't want it. They don't want it. They really don't. They just want, like, the bare minimum, because for them, bare minimum translates into what will ultimately sell, you know? And it's sad, because, again, you just, as a designer, you just kind of do, like, the little bits, and then it's like, oh, my word, client loses their mind, and you're like... That's not even my best work, but because they just want like this mediocre, level of work, which is what everybody's doing, they'll take it. They'll take it. The minute you put in any creativity, that's a little bit too much. You know, can you dim down on the colors? Maybe
right.
give us a little bit more.
Everyone
this and less
can
of that.
Drink tap Fuck. Water.
Yeah, thank you. Say that again, Bhagavantu, because that is exactly the point. Everyone can drink tap water. Make something.
Everyone
more.
Can drink tap water. Make something that's bland and it's not hot, it's not cold, it's just, except in Grahamstown because there's no water in Grahamstown.
I was about to say, can you drink tap water right now?
No,
though?
You can't.
That is question.
Well, so take it back. Take it back.
Apparently, even if there was water, it had typhoid, so people buy water in Grahamstown.
Right, so we've come full circle. But really, I think this stuff, and then, by the way, this is the kind of shit that they're feeding us on a tray, is this kind of boring, you know, like these people that look like these anodyne, kind of dreary, they don't even look human, they don't have facial expressions, they're like the outlines, they're like, it's just such a depressing look. I hate this stuff so much. I can't tell you, like, you know, people will come into my house, and you could see just in the background here what kind of a house I live in. I got a very, like, old-school taste, right? And maybe that's boring, and maybe for some people it's a little too traditional, or, you know, someone once said to me, did you inherit your grand's house? You know, and as much as I thought that was hilarious, because I don't take it personally, I think that stuff that has lasted for 100 or 200 years or even longer, as is the case with some more classical kind of architecture, art, sculpture, language, entertainment. All of that stuff has, it has legs. It has staying power. And yet this minimalist shit, we're going to look back on this. Do you remember all those apartment buildings they built in the 70s? Those ugly, derelict-looking, concrete, fiberglass, yellow and brown. You know the colors that I'm talking about. Those apartheid buildings that they put up. And they did the same thing in Russia and Eastern Europe, these depressing utilitarian buildings. Like, do you know how nobody wants to live in those buildings now? Nobody likes the look of them. Everybody's horrified. I know that in the 70s, people thought they were being really creative, but they were not. And nobody wants that shit now. And I think people are going to look back on the 2020s, and they're going to go, ew, is that the best you can do? Like, you've turned all the logos. All the logos look the same. All design has been minimalized. Everything has been made as middle of the road as possible so you don't offend the target market, which needs to be the biggest possible group of people. It's like a deflated balloon. I'm telling you, we're going to look back on this period of history and we're going to be embarrassed.
If you guys are ever going furniture shopping in during this time, that's where you'll see it the loudest.
Ugh.
The couches are all like, you know, low and gray.
All low and gray.
You know, all like low and gray. The tables are all like square and oak. There's literally nothing that's interesting. I've had to go to Facebook Market just to find like things that are like, you know, antique-ish or at least some real good solid wood that I know will last like, you know, for years and years. Things that have personality. Going on to any of these furniture stores is, I feel like I'm just going through like the same book over and over and over again with just like a different author. It's like, oh, get the latest square metal blah blah table. You go to another store, they've got the same table, but it's like triple the price. It's all just like very boring. And like I said, Gareth, I can't wait to just look back and be like, sure, we went through some stuff. You know, it's done now. Right. Moving along. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Vyasin says, I'm a graphic designer.
I think you're right there, Levin.
Vyasin says, I'm a graphic designer, and I can say that simplicity is a key to legibility, especially in digital platforms. Look, there is some argument, and this is why I'm saying I didn't completely trash all of that stuff. There are arguments for those logos that would be about, you know, fitting on the screen, being legible on a kind of screen with small pixels, the best possible clarity and contrast, and we get all of that. There's a good argument for that. But everything's the same, and it's very boring.
Everything.
Even when you do get color, let's say, like in the furniture shops, because I also did the furniture thing a while back, you get a couch, maybe it's like red, and it's like a pale red. It looks like it's worn. It looks like it's been in the wash a couple of times. Mm. So everything is just dulled down. Even the stuff that, pastel, that's the word.
Right.
Pastel. Everything is these pastel colors. It looks like it's just been washed through. And, it's a lot of bright and,
boring. It's
terrible, man.
It's just boring. So I thought I'd just bring that up this morning because we often discuss, the usual kind of things that we're dealing with in our lives, what's on TV, what kinds of things people are interested in. And this is just something that was picked up on Twitter yesterday, and I thought, wow, good point. We need to talk about this. Anyway, I think that we've definitely gone on a little bit too long about it, but it was something worthwhile discussing. Now we've got some news headlines. according to Cyril, who's finally spoken out, we don't know what Cyril's been doing, where he's been. Nobody seems to have any idea. He's always shocked by everything he hears. But the president of South Africa says there is no reason why South Africa should have to endure power cuts, given the skills and resources at the country's disposal. That's according to him. Yes, Mr. President, we do have the skills and the resources, but guess what we have? Terrible management. And guess who's in charge of that management team? You.
You freaking person. Oh, this is so frustrating. I can't believe he just said that. Like, oh, how is this happening? Do something about it. Really?
So he made these remarks in his weekly letter to South Africans. I mean, I get so furious just reading these words. He's promised an announcement of additional measures to ensure a stable electricity supply. The president says generating units will come back online this week, easing the current power shortfall. He has pointed to current interventions, such as renewable energy. That's going to help. Yeah, we will. But we'll get it for our own houses, not for you. He's also said that Eskom is making land available for private investment in renewable energy projects. He says law enforcement agencies are working hard to tackle sabotage, theft, and fraud at the power utility. I thought of this yesterday, and it just sent a shiver up my spine. And I think you guys probably will feel the same way, but tell me what you think. Now that these Eskom workers got their increase, right? Now that they know they can hold the whole country to ransom and they'll get what they want. They're going to do it again. That's the problem with...
They're not going to stop now.
The problem with extortion...
It's a taxi driver problem.
Yes, exactly. The problem with extortion is it doesn't stop. Like, if you let someone extort money from you once, they're going to keep doing it. Because why would they stop? To them, it's like, regular income, regular increases. I don't need to stop doing this. This is perfect.
So it'll definitely keep happening, that's for sure. Like, all we've done is show them that they control us. They literally, at this stage, have the power, right. Excuse that fantastic pun, but they control us. Because all they do is say, you know what, we're just going to switch this thing off, and then you guys will see what you do. Listen to people while for like 2-3 weeks on Twitter, oh my God, until right. They get what they want. And then, you know, life continues. This will happen again, is the point.
Well, while we're talking about the morons who are in charge of this country, Social Development Minister Lindiwe Zulu has proposed that those who earn 624 rand per month or less must receive a 350 rand social relief of distress grant. The minister expressed this in the Government Gazette published on Monday. The sum of 624 rand a month has been set as the national poverty line by Stats SA. Zulu's latest move follows criticism against government for revising the qualification criteria after it ended the national state of disaster in April. So, according to Lindiwe, people who are already up shit creek and earning less than, just think about this everybody, less than 624 rand a month. I do not know how anyone can earn that and live. I don't know how anybody can even scrape together enough food or warmth or succor of any kind to exist as a living organism at under 624 rand a month. And this woman wants to now patronize these people by giving them, here's a little extra 350, because shem. How insulting. And if you just got on with your jobs in government, if you just opened up the economy, if you just allowed people to be employed, if you just stopped interfering in everything that we do and taxing everything that we do, maybe we'd have the ability to create more jobs. Maybe if you just got out of the way, you idiots in government, things would get better and make life easier for these people who are earning this pittance of 624 rand a month. Let me tell you something. Domestic workers are, even in the worst possible places, earning way more than that. It's not the easiest job, but let me tell you, it's not the worst job. There are people in mines. There are these Zama guys who are like selling whatever they can dig out of the earth. There are people recycling rubbish, doing really horrible jobs, and they're earning more than that. 624 rand a month is undignified, disgraceful, and it's a blight on this government. How could people be treated so badly? How could people end up in such poverty?
Honestly. And when they speak on it, it's almost as though they, you know, proud to announce it. Because, you know, they've got a solution. The solution is, we'll give you a little bit extra. Oh, no, because you're already getting so little, look at us, we're the heroes. We'll give you a little bit more. Right. Which is very frustrating, because that very little that they're earning, that they're getting in the first place, is as a result of your poor governing.
Yeah. Here's some,
that is the problem here.
Here's some crumbs, you peasants. Let's give you some crumbs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not even let them eat cake. Because if Lindiwe Zulu went around offering people
cake,
that would be impressive. This is like, have some crumbs. just enough crumbs for you to taste that there was once bread.
It's BS.
Unbelievable. And she's like, and this is, and you watch, there are going to be people who are saying, oh, no, this is a good idea. You know?
But that's what they want, right? They are hoping that people will say this is a good idea. They want people to be like, oh, yes, they're coming to our rescue. An extra 350. I can do so much with that.
And by the way,
it's pretty much a mind fuck. It's a bit of a mind
fuck. They want credit. They want credit. Yeah, they want credit for the smallest amount of effort. Whereas the smallest amount of effort that they could give us is what you said, Gareth. Move out of the way.
Get out of the way.
At this point, I don't need government.
Move,
I just need them
get
to
out the way. Get out the way, yes, bitch. Get out the way. Oh, well, another thing about this Lindiwe Zulu, who really, I mean, she has not got three brain cells to rub together. This Lindiwe Zulu also doesn't seem to understand that 350 rand for every person she wants to hand the crumbs out to. Where does she think that's coming from?
I was going to say, who is going to be supplying this 350? Let's also start there.
Because
this kind of sounds like they're going to shift this to, you know, taxpayers or something.
It's not a bottomless pit.
And if that's the case.
I mean, Lebang, do you have an extra 5,000 rand to pay, I don't know, a couple of people's 350 from Lindiwe Zulu? I don't. Do you?
Listen, I know. I have no clue. No, the answer is just a flat no. I don't even have an extra 5,000 rand for me, let alone, you know, anybody else.
What about what about you, Bakabantu, in that rich town of Makanda where everybody has way too much money, water and electricity? Don't they have some extra cash to throw around at the 350 rand that Lindiwe wants to hand out?
I think the Eastern Cape can come to your guys' rescue because we are the best province in the world. Best province. Sure. Eastern Cape, best province.
The price of cooking oil lately, it's literally around the 100 rand, like plus minus.
Well, so this is what we're going to be talking about this because Joe Cimino is going to be joining us. You know, I love having Joe on. He's got the price of food, how much it's gone up. And this is going to blow your mind. Joe Cimino is obviously our guy when it comes to, like, you know, where you could save money, what we have to do to improve our financial fitness and independence. And Joe is the best at this stuff. I'm just always happy when he's on the show, and he's going to join us after 7. So do not miss it. That's going to be worthwhile. It always is having Joe on. All right, so Joe will be on 7:30 a.m. this morning. We're going to talk about the money, the price of food. We're going to talk about your money, how to save money on insurance, how to put those extra savings into debt, which we need to pay off. We need to stop the slow bleed of money from the expense side and talk a little bit about credit cards, which I know is going to hit people right in the feels, fuel prices, and then the interest rate increase, which is coming. So he wants to talk about all of that. It's like tough love when Joe comes in. When Joe talks to us, it's like, oh, yeah. God, here he comes. This is like Dad is going to take a look at our expense account again. And that's what he's going to do.
When the parents
it's
come
like,
in.
Just at me next time, Joe. Like, you feel like he's talking directly to you. And you're like, okay, fine. Yes, I overspent on Uber Eats last month. I know. My bad. Like, you feel like he's speaking right into your soul.
We could have had this conversation one-on-one.
Right. All right, so we have got some great stuff to discuss with you this morning. We'll get to that with Joe later on, but also some positive and optimistic stuff. I mean, yesterday we had Dr. Hanan on, and he gave us some really interesting advice on what to do if you are feeling anxious or you're going through a panic attack. And Janet actually sent me an email. Here's the email from Janet. She says, I was listening to you talking to Dr. Hanan yesterday, and I thought I'd let you know I was having a major panic attack in hospital a couple of years ago. The physician who was overseeing my chart told me that a panic attack lasts exactly 7 minutes, and you can actually time your watch by it. It actually turned out to be true. So that is what gets me through the attacks. Maybe it can help some other people. You know, basically, you know, it's going to last for 7 minutes, and then it'll be over. So if you are the kind of person who suffers from that, some words from Janet, I don't know whether that applies to everybody, but it's nonetheless something to think about, right?
Interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then some interesting, Stingy Joe is a clever Joe, says Vyasan. Yeah, Joe's going to be on just now. Don't panic. I'm so fucking happy that I don't pay my taxes to those brainless ANC losers, says Vincent. Well, you're lucky. Teach me how.
Yeah, please teach us.
Ethan says, great topics. Well,
I'm guessing he's not in the country.
Yeah,
there's no way to
avoid that. That's the only way, right? There's no other way to avoid these guys. Hey, Bakabantu?
Yeah, there's no other way. Like, he has to be out of the country because VAT increased, and we complained about that, but it still went up. So many ways to pay tax, guys.
Yeah. And also just like dealing with SARS, I saw some in the comments said that SARS paid them their returns last week. Well, good for you. You know, thank you for using this platform to just boast about your money. I have been struggling with SARS for the past like freaking I don't know how long. It's like they just don't want to give me my money. I'm like, guys,
yeah, please.
You owe me. Give me my money.
They owe me too.
Yeah, look, we sent you an email for a penalty. That's all they do. They just send me emails about some goddamn penalties, and then I pay the penalties. And then after I pay the penalties, it's like, okay, cool, thanks for paying that penalty. But there's a penalty for the penalty. Oh,
all right.
Lord, I'm just over
at the risk of, like, turning this into
a... had to take them to court, to actual court.
That's right. Yeah, she had to take them to court before they'd give her money.
No.
And yes, she paid them more than they deserved, and they... Listen, let's not even go down this road because I find it depressing. There's something.
It's too early in the morning.
So here's some useful and interesting info. So Lebang has discovered, and I still don't know what the real rules are because I've been to a proper sushi restaurant in Cape Town. The guy is married to a Japanese woman. He is a sushi fanatic. He opened up this restaurant because he wanted to make the best sushi in Africa. And he told me, you eat sushi a certain way. Now, you discovered, Lebang, and I don't doubt that this is because you had a craving after you'd given birth. You know, you're not supposed to eat sushi while you're pregnant, but then suddenly once you'd had the kid, you were like, sushi. So that's all you wanted.
100%.
And then somebody told you you've been doing it wrong your whole life. So what? Tell us how you did it before, tell us how you did it after, and what this person said.
Okay, so I've always just generally, like, had to just figure out how to eat sushi. There was no like instruction manual on how to eat it. So I'd kind of just like take the actual, whether it's like a maki roll or whatever, you know, take my chopsticks, literally dip that whole thing inside the soy sauce. That was step one. Soak it in soy sauce. Cover it up. Then after that, I take a little bit of the ginger, aka avocado, as some people refer to it. Okay. I take a bit of that. The wasabi, you know, literally put that on
the wasabi,
top. Yeah. I take a piece of ginger, put that on top, and then I consume. Nyof, nyof, nyof. This is nice. Love the taste. This was literally like my whole life. Until last week, I'm minding my business, literally not bothering anyone, doing this, soaking the whole maki roll inside the soy. This person in the restaurant goes, sorry. I'm like, yeah. You're not supposed to soak. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not supposed to soak? Apparently, first you're supposed to eat it, Mikey, with your hand. You're not supposed to use the sticks. So you take your hand and you literally just like dip. You know what a dip is? It's like a little bit of a when you're putting your toe in the pool just to check if it's cold. That's all. You just go, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Once you do that, you
drown it. Yeah, dunk
you know,
it.
You're
yeah.
not drowning.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
not
yeah.
sinking.
Dunk it.
It's not like
go,
a.
When you take
it's not
it
like
out,
a rusk
you're
in
not
coffee.
To, like,
yeah.
Yes, like your rusk in the coffee. You're not allowed to, like, even shake it off, like, wiggle the soy sauce off. Whatever you've dipped in is what you go with. Cool. Then you literally just, like, chow that. The point of the ginger is more like a palate cleanser.
Exactly.
And you can then consume the next bit.
Right.
That's about it. And the wasabi is more like a, you know, if it's inside the sushi, like literally inside, then that's how it's prepared. If it's on the side, then you can like sort of like have it as like a choice. But generally, putting everything on top, like stacking it together, then like dipping it in the soy, is not how you're meant to eat it.
Yep.
And I will also make a public service announcement. I will continue eating it in that manner because that's just how I enjoy my sushi. Like,
all right, fair enough. this guy told me exactly the same thing, except that he said with the wasabi, you put it into the soy sauce and you just stir it around with your chopsticks a little bit so that there's a bit of wasabi in the soy sauce. Then it's supposed to be, and Ethan is correct here, traditionally only the fish is meant to be dipped in the soy sauce, not the rice. But obviously these days a lot of the sushi is fish and rice together, so it's very hard to do that. So you just go dip, as Lebang said, and you pull it out, and that's it. It's in.
Fun fact there, Ethan, if it's just fish, it's not sushi. It's sashimi.
Sashimi, correct. Very good.
So, aha.
Yes.
Hey, look what can come out of the shithole. Aha.
Look at that, exactly. Carl says, you're supposed to eat sushi off the flat stomach of a beautiful naked woman. Don't you guys remember Kenny Kunene taught us that?
Of course. Kenny Kunene.
Exactly. Along with the days just of... like how you're supposed to take shots.
Yes, correct, exactly.
Yes.
And then a couple of other people hopping onto this one. Fuck, I miss eating sushi in Cape Town, says Ethan. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's it's become a thing. It certainly wasn't something I ate when I was a kid. If I'd said to my parents I want sushi, they would have clapped me. There was no way that was ever on the menu. But now, because it used to be also you could get sushi only at a sushi restaurant. Now everybody serves sushi. Have you noticed that?
You can get it at Pick and Pay.
Pick and Pay.
You can get it at Shoprite. Yeah.
When you walk in, it's in those little plastic things, and there's a little bit of wasabi, and there's a little packet of soy sauce, and there's some ginger, and you can just buy it on your way in.
Mm.
Nice, huh?
Sushi on the go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, our kids are definitely spoiled. The first time I laid eyes on sushi, I was like 13. My dad had come back from like a golf game, and I was like, what is that? My eight-year-old right now, if I were to like ask him what's his favorite food, he'd say sushi.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. They're extremely spoiled.
Yeah.
It's our fault as parents.
My parents have never eaten sushi. They don't like it. They don't know about it. It's not something that's in their world. And therefore, when we were kids, we never had any. Now, I know for a fact that my brother loves it. I know that I love it. I know that my brother-in-law loves it. But it was never a thing when we were kids, and there was just there was no chance that it would. We never went to a Japanese restaurant or a sushi restaurant. We were never given that option.
Yeah, now it's quite the norm. It really is. Is I mean, people are exploring more.
You see, Bakabantu, we had to come full circle. The apartheid government—they didn't allow sushi because it was too much fun. We weren't allowed to have fun. They wanted it to be miserable all the time, right?
Yeah, no, straight up. But there's levels, guys. I don't know if you remember that video of the lady speaking about, like, buying sushi at Pick and Pay and buying sushi at, like, Shoprite and Spa. Who does that? Like, there's levels. If you're going to go to, like, a boxer store and get yourself a six-pack of Mope and pass by the sushi store, you better check your life.
Oh, wow. I suppose it used to be like a statement of your position in society that you ate sushi and that was your favorite meal. You know, it was like something people boasted about. I don't think that's true anymore. Now it's everybody's game, right?
So, yeah, I think so,
Parallel Parking says, if sushi is not eaten within minutes of its making, and it should be made right in front of you, then it is not sushi. It is just more aerodynamic fast food. Yeah, I don't know about aerodynamic's
well.
Not the right word, but I get what you're saying. You've used that word twice incorrectly, Parallel Parking, but then that's fine.
Yeah, because sushi is nothing. It's not aerodynamic.
Yeah.
No, but it's a temperature thing. Like, if they make it in front of you and you, like, eat it immediately, like, that's when it's freshest and that's the temperature
that's
that
it.
You should be consuming it at.
Yes.
The minute you do, like, the takeout thing and then it's still going to be in the car, then it gets home and it's warm, it's over.
Either warm or when they put it on ice to try and keep it fresh. No good. Dogoza says, sushi is amazing, but I doubt that my parents would know what that is. Exactly. So I think all of our parents, more or less the same WhatsApp group on that stuff. Our parents were told that certain things need to be cooked to death. So to them, sushi is raw fish. Same with lamb chops, pork, etc. When my in-laws buy lamb chops, we call it chreisvleis, awful. Yeah. Yeah, you know when it's mostly black and the fat has been burnt so that it's not just crispy, it is solid. It's almost like... That's not good.
True.
By the way, Lebang, have I got news for you. In the next hour, I'm going to tell you something that you're going to want to hear. You're going to be so pleased about this. It's going to be great news for you. We'll talk about it in the next hour. It is 7 o'clock, everybody. Great. Up and at 'em on this Tuesday morning. It's the 12th of July. CliffCentral.com. We got your back this morning, looking after you, taking care of you, and bitching and moaning a little bit about Makanda and minimalist logos and raving about sushi. You know, we got a whole bunch of things to get through, and there's lots more to come. Stick around, including Joe Cimino, who's going to help us sort out our money, I hope. CliffCentral.com.